We are celebrating today the Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross. I said earlier, it's a joyful celebration. It's a victory celebration. But it's not obvious at first what is so joyful and victorious about the cross. Every Catholic church has an image of a man dying or dead on a cross, which at face value is a pretty bad thing to have on display all the time. Some kind of fascination with dying people or dead people. But this is at the very heart of the Christian faith, the very heart of our confidence in God, that He came among us and died on the cross and rose again, thereby conquering sin and death. So what we're celebrating here is not only the terrible price that Jesus paid on the cross, we're also celebrating what He won for us by paying that price, meaning eternal life. So it's a uniquely Christian thing to celebrate. Uniquely Christian faith, to think that death has been overcome by death. And to celebrate it in a joyful way, only Christians can do that. Only Christians can see through death to eternal life in the way we do. There are a lot of people in the world who would say, this is not a time to celebrate, and it's not even appropriate to celebrate in the modern world. So many things going wrong. It's not hard to come up with examples of their point. I mean, just this week we have these two terrible disasters in North Africa. The big earthquake in Morocco, I think that was Friday or Saturday. Thousands of people dead, thousands of people missing. And then a couple of days ago, this big flood in Libya, again, thousands of people dead. I think the death toll is well over 5,000 already, and thousands of people missing. Or you might think of that fire that devastated that town in Hawaii last month. I don't know the death toll, but at the time they said there's thousands of people missing, and most of the people who died have been burned so terribly, can't even identify the bodies. So death by fire, death by earthquake, death by flood, in huge numbers. And every time one of these disasters is placed before us, we're struck, wow, this is terrible. What grief, what suffering. And then as people evaluate what happened, there's usually some human incompetence or corruption behind it, you know, buildings not built properly or electrical wires not maintained properly or the dam wasn't maintained. So sure, there's things that are out of our control, like climate and big storms and earthquakes. But then there's the contributing factor of just we make things worse for ourselves. Or at least incompetent public officials get the blame, or people who are corrupt and get paid off rather than enforcing the building codes or the safety protocols. But this is what the way people think. Oh, gosh, it's terrible. We've made it more terrible for ourselves. Climate change makes it more terrible for everybody. And now God Himself is against us. The weather, the earthquakes, this is the world we live in. Everything is against us, including ourselves. And people say, well, you know, what kind of a world is this to live in? A lot of discouragement, a lot of depression. What hope is there for a reason for joy if thousands of people can be wiped out and washed into the ocean in a minute, or burned up in a minute, or buried under rubble in a minute? How can we stand here and celebrate? Well, we don't discount the unspeakable grief that's associated with these events. But we do know that there's more to the story. We do know that God does not simply look on these disasters from a distance and say, well, that's too bad it didn't work out. God, by becoming man, has entered into the condition of the human family, the broken, suffering condition of the human family. He's taken the side of the victims. God, who's all powerful, has descended to the condition of the victims. Dead with the dead. Victim of government corruption, just like any other victim of government corruption. In fact, Jesus, you could say, made it worse for himself too. Just like people are saying in these disasters that, you know, we made it worse for ourselves. Well, Jesus very deliberately marched into this cross. He could have avoided it. Certainly he could have. But this was the reason why he came. He did not come into the world to condemn the world. He came into the world to save the world. And how does he save the world? By laying down his life on the cross. So this is what we celebrate. We don't celebrate human corruption. We don't celebrate natural disasters. We don't celebrate widespread death and destruction. But we do celebrate what is on the other side of these terrible experiences, which is eternal life, or at least the possibility of eternal life for anybody who accepts the gift of God. This is what Jesus says in today's gospel. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. None of us can escape death, but all of us can have eternal life. So what are we going to focus on? The inevitability of death? The seemingly dead-end story of all these disasters? Or the open-ended possibility of eternal life, eternal glory, eternal happiness? This feast day, today's feast day, focuses on the victory Jesus wins on the cross. Now, Jesus mentions this strange event of Moses lifting up the serpent. This was today's first reading. This unusual passage where the people of Israel are complaining about not having enough food. They're disgusted with the manna. Their patience is worn out with the journey. Very easy to understand that. Our patience gets worn out very, very fast. I was told this morning that there's no internet connection now. In fact, this mess right now is not being live streamed because there's no internet connection. So I'm sure a lot of people are complaining about that. Patients worn out by the fact that they don't have internet. And we have lots of things that we find burdensome. That's a very insignificant one, but still, we're just as quick to complain about minor things as about major ones. Anyway, we can understand the condition of the people in the desert. And the result of this complaining, this impatience, this disgust that they experience is that they get bit by these seraph serpents. And it's a bite that leads to death. This is a symbol of, it's a real event in the history of Israel, but it's also a symbol of sin. Sin which leads to death. And sin is our own fault. When we sin, we can't blame anybody else. When we fall into this kind of complaining against God and against Moses, or we fall into our self-pity or our self-righteousness or whatever our sin might be, we do that to ourselves, and we are courting death when we do that. What's the solution to this? The Lord says to Moses, well, make an image of the very problem and lift it up on a pole. Put on display the very thing that seems to be the worst, the cause of death itself. Put it on a pole. Lift it up. Exalt it. And when people look at that, they'll be saved. Now, that's really weird. That's just a really weird thing to happen. Why it works, only God knows. Looking at a bronze serpent on a pole can heal someone? It's obviously a strange event. Now, it's strange until we realize it's a prophetic foreshadowing of Jesus on the cross. Jesus is our problem. Well, Jesus crucified, it puts on display our problem, sin and death. And when we look at him whom we have pierced, we're saved. Meaning, look means believe with faith. So that faith in Jesus Christ crucified and risen is the very means by which we're saved. So, and that's why Jesus uses this in the gospel. He says, just like Moses lifting up the serpent, the Son of Man must be lifted up. Jesus on the cross must be put on display. We have to know the price he paid for us. We have to know the means of our salvation and put our faith in him. And when we do, we're saved. Whoever believes in him has eternal life. So that's what we're celebrating today. It's a contradictory method. It can even strike us as being very strange. Why does it work? Well, we don't know. We don't know how God does things or why he does them the way he does. But we do know he loves us. He's not out to condemn us. He wants us to share an eternal life. And this is the way he does it, by the saving cross of Jesus Christ. So we're celebrating the cross today. We rejoice in the cross. We embrace the cross, because by the cross, Jesus has redeemed the world.